sisters in Christ. We come today to experience a startling new reality, because He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You know, it's interesting because we see today in our gospel reading the women going into the tomb and going there. They're going, oh, gee, what are we going to do? The stone's not rolled back. And I thought they had forgotten everything Jesus said. See, they had a reality and they had to find out there was a different reality that was going about. And when they heard the tomb and they saw the angel, they were bewildered. They were afraid. The message the angel gave them was, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified and has risen. So I wonder, what brings more confusion? Death or resurrection? Jesus' resurrection is life jarring. It's a new reality. And that's the goal of this Easter message, that we grab hold of that. Because the women go to the tomb with their spices in their hands. They're ready to go. And yet, even though Jesus said he was going to rise, the reality said he's dead. They went to the tomb with spices to anoint the body. Now, back then, they were familiar with death. The average age of death for people that day was 35 to 40. They took care of the body. There was no fancy funeral home. They took the spices. They prepared the body. They wrapped the linens. They did all that themselves. Today, we're lucky, I guess, I'm going to call it lucky, in that we have a funeral home. We have mortuaries that do all that for us. They even go so far as to make up the person, make them look as alive as possible to help our mourning process. So even for us, death is not unexpected. We get older. In fact, every time we get older, every time we have another surgery or another cold or whatever it is, reminds us that we will die. We're acquainted with death. And especially as we get older, you know, my dad told me, because as you get older, you read the obituaries in the newspaper more and more, and you kind of read about people's lives. Yes, we try to avoid talking about it, but we know it's there, and we deal with it as best we can. So it's really no surprise for us either. Oh, I know, it's always, when someone dies, it's always a surprise, but it's not a surprise. But let's talk about the resurrection. Because he is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That's kind of a strange thing, a concept. Life coming out of death, isn't it? Yes, life coming out of death. It seems somewhat impossible for us. And yet, we know that we will see them again. However, what would cause us more surprise? The fact that our loved one died, or that somehow they show up at our door the next morning? What would cause more surprise? You know, one time when I was a vicar, I was calling people on the phone tree and the phone list, and I called by and said, hey, is Albert there? His daughter had answered. She said, she got all startled. I go, what's the matter? She goes, he died like a year ago. And she goes, I was wondering who was calling for my father. So it kind of surprised her. We don't expect that. It's startling. But the angel told the disciples, go tell the disciples. Go tell them. So the women didn't tell anybody else, but they got to the disciples. They get to the disciples. They say, hey, guess what? Jesus' tomb was empty, and he's risen. And an angel came to us and said, he's going to meet you in Galilee. And even the disciples didn't believe it. It didn't fit their reality. Excuse me. What life was and is. Jesus tried to tell them. He told them over and over. He told them he would die and in 3 days rise again. He told them that he would be crucified, but not take heart. And the angel told them again. He's going to Galilee. He'll meet you there just as he's told you, because he's risen. And look at Thomas. No. Remember Thomas? Hey, Thomas, look at my hands. Look at the hole in my side. It is I. But does resurrection make life any different? Because it really is a life-changing dynamic for us and for our salvation. We need to sit and ponder the sentence, "He is risen." Yeah, death was not sufficient to keep Jesus down. And death is not sufficient to keep you down either. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He leads us. He went before. He leads us into heaven from this death into heaven." Jesus said, "He that lives and believes in me shall never die." Oh, yes, we're going to leave this tent. In fact, even in the scripture, I don't know if you noticed in the New Testament reading today, it calls the people who have died falling asleep. That's their body that is falling asleep. See, they don't want to say that anyone dies because Jesus said you don't die. So your body will fall asleep and you will be in heaven until Jesus raises the body on the last day. And that brings us a hope and a reality, a certainty that the rest of the world doesn't have. And that we, even of our weak faith, the Holy Spirit wants to build us up and strengthen us in this fact that He is risen. And if He's risen, you too will rise. Jesus said, "He that lives and believes in me shall never die." This is the Father's good will, that everyone who believes in me should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And that's the fact. Yes, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives to bless me with His love. He forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He's with me. He loves me more than I can understand or even comprehend. So great is the love of the Father. My Redeemer lives to help in time of need. Yes, especially spiritually. He's going to be strengthening us. He sends His Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He will help us. It doesn't say He'll take us out of the valley of the shadow of death. He will help us through those valleys of shadow of death, those problems we have. Oh yes, my Redeemer lives to grant me rich supply. You know, God is so wonderful that it says He even grants good things to people who don't even believe Him, even the wicked. But we see everything we have, we notice that it's all the rich supply that God grants to us. Our food, our family, our churches, our homes, our house, our the world, all those things are God's rich supply. Yes, my Redeemer lives to guide me with His eye. Yes, He sees and He knows us. And He gave us a book to guide us and to lead us. If we read that book and we apply those stories to our lives, the Holy Spirit will then also use our conscience to guide us through life. Yes, yes, my Redeemer lives to hear my soul's complaint. Oh yeah, we get disappointed with God. We get upset at times. It's all right, God's a big person, He can take it. But He wants to hear us, He will listen. And we said before, He will help us. And my Redeemer lives to wipe away my tears, not just in heaven. You know, Revelation 21 says that God will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and there shall be no more pain or sorrow or crying, for the former things have passed away. We look forward to that day when all our tears are wiped away. But if there's a starking new reality in your life here, God starts to comfort you to wipe away those tears with the news of the resurrection, because He is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, He's come to wipe away our heartache and our tears. But He's also come. My Redeemer lives. My mansion. That's the resurrection reality. That's the resurrection reality the women had to see, to grow in faith in, to silently embrace a new reality. And you know, I'm reminded of the women going to reality. I'm reminded of people coming into the funeral services. And maybe they here in their mourning, you know, and they hear Romans 6:4, perhaps. "We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. And they start to get comforted as they hear God's word speaking to them. And the service continues. And maybe they hear a song like, I know my Redeemer lives. And they remember that and are reminded to strengthen their faith because death does not end at all. You see, in the sermon then, they want to see a stark new reality. That death is defeated. That in those things that happen in that person's life shows their faith, and that faith will not disappoint them. They died in faith, and therefore they have life everlasting from Christ who was resurrected. It proved that God forgave the sins of all mankind, and that just as Jesus is risen from the dead, we will rise too. So we have that new stark reality. The promise of a new life here on earth and forever in heaven. And that's a new way of thinking because all things then are changed. You know, a lot of us heard the story of Cassie Burnell, combine, who put a gun to her head and asked her if she believed, and she said she did. Now, I looked that up. Now they're changing their story after many years. And, of course, I looked it up on Wikipedia, which and the very anti-Christian tone of the article, it may not be true. But they said it really wasn't Cassie. It was a girl named Valerie Schnorr. I don't know. But I do know one thing. A lot of Christians throughout the ages have had the strength to face those final hours, those dangerous times, in faith, knowing that He is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that this new life of peace comes upon you by the Holy Spirit. Because that new life of peace really does surpass all understanding. And that new life of peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.